And thank you for joining us for Cholangio Heroes, a video podcast produced by the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation. I'm Jennifer Weaver. I'll be the host of this episode. And joining me is special guest, Dr. Mark Yarshwin. He actually is from Johns Hopkins and has been an amazing contributor to our foundation with some of the research and the studies that he's done. So I will let him introduce himself and a little bit of his background.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on this program. I'm an associate professor of medical oncology at Johns Hopkins, and I specialize in cancers of the liver, particularly cholangiocarcinoma and other biliary tract cancers. And I run a research laboratory focused on developing new treatments for these cancers. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, great. Well, welcome. And can you tell us a little bit more about your connection to the disease? Like, how did you get interested in particularly cholangiocarcinoma?
It's a great question. I mean, I came to oncology fellowship here interested in developing new treatments, but I was kind of agnostic to what tumor type I would go into. And when I came here, I really fell in love with the GI group. It seemed like a really energetic group with great mentors. And in particular, I worked with Nilo Azad, who I think you've had on your program before, who is really a leader in cholangiocarcinoma. And she gave me the opportunity as a fellow to participate in my first clinical trial, which was a clinical trial in cholangiocarcinoma. And really, it seemed to me like this was a disease with incredible patients, where at least at the time, we hadn't had a new treatment in 10 years. And it really felt like the sort of disease that I could make a difference in, because it's a rare tumor where we could potentially apply ideas from other tumor types to really advance the field. So part of it was mentorship, part of it was really enjoying the care of these patients, and part of it was just the biological possibilities.
And you mentioned Dr. Nilo Azad, and she actually serves on our scientific medical advisory board. So through that connection, is that how you got involved with the foundation, or can you tell me how that connection happened?
Yeah, I mean, Nilo, was very generous as my mentor and brought me to the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation meeting. And this was really my first time meeting other experts in the field. And, I have to say, it's a really unique community of people that are dedicated to trying to improve care for this tumor type. And I just became more involved since that time.
So it seems like you just did a recent study, and I believe the foundation took some small part in that. Could you give us some context of that study and what it entailed?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was, the recipient of award from the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation. And I have to say this award was really helpful for me in my career. It came at a really important time for me. And the overall goal of our project was to really understand the molecular subtypes of cholangiocarcinoma and how the different genes that drive this cancer type affect the immune landscape of this tumor type. Just a little bit of background. Cholangiocarcinoma, many people think of it as being one cancer, but it's actually not one cancer. It's actually many different cancers that all start in the bile ducts. And increasingly, we're starting to understand that we shouldn't treat this cancer in a one-size-fits-all way. We really need to understand how these different cancers that all anatomically start in the same place, how they respond differently to treatment. And, we've entered an era where immunotherapy has become one of the mainstays of cancer therapy. And for the first time, we have real data now in cholangiocarcinoma that there is benefit to immunotherapy. But we know that some cholangiocarcinomas benefit from immunotherapy and others don't. And we really need to start understanding which subsets respond, which ones don't, and how can we make the subsets that don't respond actually convert them to be immune responsive. So what we did was, again, working with the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation and working with Tempus, they're a company that does molecular profiling of many different tumor types. We actually used data from about 450 different patients with cholangiocarcinoma, and paired different pieces of data that really hadn't been combined before. We combined the DNA mutations. So these are the mutations that make the cancer a cancer. These are the things that make the cancer grow. So we looked at the DNA of these 450 cancers, and then we paired that data with the RNA from the cancers. And the RNA can tell us things like which tumors have more immune cells in the cancer and what type of immune cells. And so I have to say, I want to give credit to the large group of people that did this with me. Tempest did much of the analysis. Kabir Modi actually was a major contributor to this project, and you know he's in Jacksonville, Florida, and other members of the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation, you know, Neil Ozad, Rachna Shroff, Katie Kelly, Anthony L. Curry, Greg Lisinski, and others. So this was a big project with many people involved. And I'm happy to talk about what we found. I think that it's quite important, actually.
Yeah, I think patients are probably, it's nice to know, and patients would like to probably be aware that these studies are taking place, that their best interest is always in mind. And so I would like to know a little bit more of what you were able to accomplish with that.
So what we found was that basically cholangiocarcinoma really can be grouped into four different groups of tumors. One of the groups of tumors are patients who have intrahepatic cholangiocarcinoma with FGFR2 fusions or rearrangements. And these tumors, we found, tend to have actually very little immune infiltration. And so at least our data would suggest that while these tumors may be sensitive to drugs like pemigatinib or infigratinib that block FGFR2 signaling, these tumors, at least our data would suggest, are unlikely to benefit from immunotherapy as much as other cholangiocarcinomas. We found that there is a subgroup of tumors that are more extrahepatic and have
so when
more...
you say extrahepatic, you're talking about outside of the liver, and when you say inside the liver. No, that's okay. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding you. And when you say FGFR, that's a gene mutation, correct?
Absolutely correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So
intrahepatic, so starting in the liver, not outside of the liver. Mm-hmm. FGFR2 rearrangement. So and by the way, since this is going out for patients, just a public service announcement: all patients with cholangiocarcinoma should absolutely get molecular profiling of their tumors. And so if you haven't had this done, you need to talk to your oncologist and say, I'd really like to get molecular profiling done. And the reason is that our data shows that almost half of patients with cholangiocarcinoma, if you sequence their tumor or get molecular profiling of their tumor, about half of these patients have something that you find on molecular profiling that you can actually do something about and to really personalize the treatment. So this is different than a lot of other cancers. You know, pancreas cancer, it's much more rare to find something. HCC, the other form of liver cancer, very rare to find something. Cholangiocarcinoma, this is really critical. So patients need to have this done. So again, one cluster was more intrahepatic cholangiocarcinoma driven by FGFR2 fusions, had the lowest immune activation. The group of cholangiocarcinomas that are outside of the liver with more KRAS mutations, ATM mutations, and TP53 mutations actually had the most inflamed tumor microenvironment. And then what we found was that there was a subtype of cholangiocarcinoma, we call this cluster 3, that had more ARID1A and IDH1 mutations. And by the way, there's a drug that targets IDH1 now. So this is a cluster that actually has a drug that may work. And this cluster was very interesting that it had more macrophages that have M2 skewing. So they're different kinds of immune cells in tumors Mm-hmm. And this one type of immune cell was much more present in this one subgroup of cholangiocarcinoma. And that gives us a tip off that we may need to tailor the way that we treat these tumors to really make immunotherapy work better by addressing these cells, these M2 macrophages. These cells usually prevent immunotherapy from working. So it gives us a tip off that we may need to give something on top of normal PD-1 or PD-L1 immunotherapy to make these drugs work better in this cluster. And then the final cluster that we saw was these patients with CDKN2A and N2B mutations. So very, very interesting. Happy to talk more about that. We actually have a related project also that I'm excited about. You guys have also supported.
Oh, yes. I would definitely like to hear more. I mean, it's intriguing. I know you mentioned and advocated that patients should get molecular profiling, but I also know that's called biomarker testing. So they may hear it in different forms, like biomarker testing, molecular profiling, genomic testing. It's all the same. They just need to get it done, right?
They really do. I mean, this has transformed the way that that we treat cholangiocarcinomas, because we have now many different subgroups of cholangiocarcinomas that that actually we can figure out what's making these tumors grow. When we have drugs that specifically target those things and turn those things off. So the most common are FGFR2 fusions or rearrangements, IDH1 mutations, BRAF V600E mutations, NTRK fusions, mismatch repair deficiency, high tumor mutation burden, lots of different things. You never know what you're going to get till you do this test. And I have patients in my clinic who are alive today only because we got this test and there was a drug that really worked for them. So I really encourage patients to get this testing done.
And since we're talking about immunotherapy, there's somebody like me, I don't know what immunotherapy. could you explain what that is? What is immunotherapy? Why is that different than, say, chemotherapy?
Yeah, so chemotherapy has been the mainstay of cancer treatment for cholangiocarcinoma. Really, we're talking about cytotoxic chemotherapy, drugs like gemcitabine, cisplatin. These are just, sort of toxins or poisons that poison tumor cells. They work more against the cancer cell than the body, but they have, you know, some unpleasant side effects. immunotherapy is really a very new and very different form of treatment that really works to get the body's own immune cells to fight the cancer. And so the most common of these drugs are drugs that fall into a class of drugs called PD-1 or PD-L1 inhibitors. Mm-hmm. And what they really do is cancer cells put up some brakes to prevent the body's immune system from attacking. Mm-hmm. The body's immune system is how we fight off viruses and bacteria that our body is bombarded with all the time, but the immune system can also fight cancer. Cancer over time puts up these walls or barriers to the immune system. And these drugs that we have that target the PD-1 or PD-L1 pathway, they really turn these barriers off so that the immune system can actually go and attack cancer. These drugs work very well in certain cancers like melanoma and lung cancer, where they've been totally transformative. Unfortunately, in the case of cholangiocarcinoma, these drugs can work in some patients, but they don't tend to work in most patients. And what we have now is we have the first major randomized clinical trial where patients got gemcitabine and cisplatin with or without one of these immunotherapies called durvalumab. This is the TOPAZ-1 study. And the patients who got the gem-cis plus durvalumab actually had a somewhat higher chance of responding. They responded a little bit longer, and they actually lived longer. So it's the first time that we have very clear evidence that cholangiocarcinoma can, in general, benefit from immunotherapy. But the benefit was a lot smaller than I think we've seen in some other tumor types. So it's super exciting for me that these drugs work in cholangiocarcinoma, but they just don't work as well as we'd like them to work. And so what I've really tried to do in my research is figure out how do we make these drugs work better. That's the overall goal of my work.
Well, and it's important, and it does give hope. So you mentioned that you've got something else happening that you're excited about. Could you tell us a little bit more of what that is?
So this is also an effort through the Cholangiocarcinoma Foundation. So again, you know, I'm just so grateful for all the support, and it's not just financial support for our work, but also logistical support by bringing different parties together. And that's just so important. One of the things we've been interested in is doing more research about the different subtypes of cancer of cholangiocarcinoma and how the immune system looks different in those tumors. So we have this data that we just published on showing that there are some pretty drastic differences between these different subgroups. But what we'd really like to do is not just look at the whole signal in the whole tumor the way that we did looking at bulk RNA sequencing, but we'd really like to look at the specific cells in there and also how they're oriented. So what is their spatial orientation? So we've taken tumors from Hopkins and partnered with a company called Enable Medicine that's doing this multiplex analysis where they put many different markers on. And we can actually look and see what cells are in the tumor and where they're located to see what's different about these different subtypes of cancer that we've now described. And this is being led by Marina Baretti, who's working with me here at Hopkins, along with the team at Enable Medicine. And it's the follow-on to the work that we just published on.
That is exciting. And it's another one of those reasons to be optimistic, because there is a lot of behind-the-scenes work for patients that I think they'll be happy to hear from you with this video podcast of what is transpiring, what is being done on their behalf. So thank you so much for joining us. I know as the foundation, we are extremely grateful for what you do. I know that we will continue to support you. And do you have any closing remarks you'd just like to make?
No, I'd like to thank the foundation. I'd also like to thank, you know, our patients. You know, we're all in this together. And really at the end of the day, patients have been agreeing to donate their tissue to help other patients more than help themselves. And that's really incredible. This is an amazing community, and I'm honored and humbled to be part of it. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. And thank you everybody for joining us today for this episode of Cholangio Heroes. Join us next week. If you would like to learn more information, please go to our website, cholangiocarcinoma.org. We've actually, because it's such a long word, cholangiocarcinoma, we've actually made it a little bit simpler, and you can also find us at curecc.org. Wonderful. Thank you again.
Thank you.